In the battle for America's presidency, dear friends, listeners, there's a much bigger war over our soul going on and what we stand for, how we think, and what our values are, what we're willing to live and die for. So what will be our model, our method, our God? All right. I'm asking these questions because there is an article that came out in the Washington Post that I found dismaying. And the title of the article is "The Quiet Impact of Obama's Christian Faith." In the meantime, I'm looking at a headline, White House Moves to Grant Visa Waivers for Iranians. And this is a subject occasionally in the past that I've mentioned that I was surprised that if the president was a Christian, why he doesn't seem to put any effort into saving, any special effort into saving people that are being beheaded and killed over in the Middle East because they're Christians, and the Muslims, especially ISIS, are coming to force them to convert or die. And so it made me wonder. I don't understand why the Washington Post puts out an article like this. And I did a little bit of research on the author and found that he's a military writer. Pardon me. And so, I don't know. I found it troubling that someone would write in a major publication would write a big article like this that is so inconsistent with the vast majority of people that I think self-identify as Christians, their opinion of what this guy stands for, what he believes. So, in addition to that, there are just, you know, it's become this huge deal where the and say, you know, the stuff this guy says is crazy. We have been subjected to this over and over and over again, where he is he's crossed the final barrier. He's gone too far. He has to be called out. He needs to be put down. He needs to be put to sleep. So let's just say that we did this. So we took Donald Trump and we removed him. Who would come in to take the place of Donald Trump? And the answer to that is basically one of these totally indistinguishable politicians, people that are indistinguishable from one another, who would come in and basically take over and have just a typical presidency in which there was a lot of compromise. It would be a Paul Ryan presidency. If you had, I mean, I think that's who Rubio is. I think Marco Rubio at some level is kind of a Paul Ryan. He's a guy who'd do anything to become president from the right side, you know, from the Republican side. And I think all of these guys are, and the females are kind of, they're totally dominated by political correctness, and the politically correct things have to be worshipped. It doesn't matter anything else, but we can't be politically incorrect. And so if that's your standard, if that's what you represent, then how do you think that you could possibly become a good president if you're not allowed to say anything that's controversial? You're not allowed to say anything that would offend women, gay people, minorities, feminists, and, you know, fill in the blank there. The things that these people that stand for are said to either be so true as to be beyond debate, like abortion is so true you can't debate it and be a serious person, or these groups are so special they cannot be criticized. And so I think that it's like, you know, these diseases, some children are born with a disease, their bones are brittle, so they sneeze and they like break their, you know, break their spine. go to pick up a cup of coffee, they break their arm. It seems to me that we are becoming a country where that's the kind of thing that we're encouraging. So the kids go to school, they can't be offended. Under any circumstances. And to be offended is the worst thing in history. You know, nobody's allowed to, anybody can offend a Christian or a white person, whatever. You know the rules of the game. But you can't offend these special groups. And if you do, then you've got to be driven out of public life. And I honestly don't understand this, because anybody, even a person who's super liberal, if you look at this situation realistically, you know that if we get rid of all the standards, all previous standards, then at some point everybody suffers, everybody gets destroyed. You look at Russia, what happened to Russia and China. We got a phone call. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Oh, this is Tony. And basically, I'm finding a little of what you're saying somewhat offensive, in the sense that Barack Obama opened the door for political incorrectness inadvertently. The fact that he is a black president was the undercurrent.
Tony, can you talk up a little bit? It's a little bit faint. Maybe it's my I just turned up my earphones, but could you talk?
Okay.
I just want to make sure everybody can hear you.
Well, what I'm saying is Barack Obama, his presidency, inadvertently opened the door for political incorrectness.
Can you give an example?
Sure. Birther thing that was set out upon him when he first became president was set out by who?
So like who originated it?
Donald Trump.
Oh, okay. I wasn't aware of that. I'm not a birther,
check
so I
fact.
Haven't really followed it.
Check the fact. Donald Trump started that.
Okay.
And so basically what has happened because of Barack Obama's presidency and the whole thing with him being a Muslim and just all sorts of things, what has came about as a result of all of that criticism is Donald Trump's candidacy being what it is right now, because he's simply echoing the sentiments of white people, period.
All right. So let me ask you this. What do you think of political correctness in general?
I think there's something to be said for political correctness, because you can't just willy-nilly offend the sensibilities of groups and classes of people. You shouldn't be allowed to do that.
Okay, but who gets to define what's offensive?
Well, I agree to some extent, but you have to have a filter.
I understand that, but one of the things that I've always kind of found strange about political correctness is a lot of the people that it is applied to, like you say, white people or Christians or whatever, having spent a lot of time around these people in the past, the vast majority of them are not people that go out of their way to be offensive, even accidentally. Most of the Christians that I know are careful about how they talk about homosexuals or black people or whatever, just because that's kind of in keeping with the movement. But all right, so let me ask you this. So the door is open through the Obama presidency for an attack on political correctness. Is that what you're saying? Or
that's correct. That's correct. For political incorrectness.
All right. Let me ask you this. Has political correctness gone too far in your opinion?
No.
Well, what is the...
I think the trend of it going the other way is what's becoming problematic. The trend of it going the other way is also what's given rise to a presidential candidate who no one would have taken seriously 10 years ago.
All right, but he's standing up and saying that Hillary Clinton... He's saying a series of things that nobody else is saying about stuff
That's
like
correct.
Immigration. Is immigration a problem in your opinion?
Illegal immigration is.
So, but why haven't we committed ourselves as a country to dealing with it? It seems like everything that we do is like, it's like your roof is leaking, and instead of getting the whole thing redone, patch the next leak. You know, that seems like that's been our approach.
the reason why we haven't taken immigration on a full scale, because if the United States wanted to, at any given time, they could amass enough troops to shut down the border. There would be nothing moving, period, zero.
Of course.
The only reason why the United States does not do that, because from a Democratic perspective, it's folks. And from a Republican perspective, it's cheap labor.
All right. We do have something to gain from it, but ultimately the dangers by far, at this point in history, by far outweigh the benefits. So, well, let me ask you this, because we're talking about political correctness and such. Let me ask you a couple of questions. Number one, give your president a letter grade so far.
C.
And is there anything to be gained from Trump or somebody like Trump who comes in and attacks these, what they call, I guess, a shibboleth or an icon or something? This, you know, he's got these things in the church that are holy, and then somebody else comes up and says this is not holy, and they break it, they break the statues or whatever. Is there anything to be gained by going after some of this? It seems like an industry has grown out of political correctness.
There's something to be gained by going after a guy like Trump with his political incorrectness. There is nothing to be gained by letting Trump just fire away at any moving target that he pleases. Although, don't forget, in my opinion, Trump is echoing the sentiments of the majority. Look who his supporters are, working class white men.
Crackers. All right.
Working class white men are feeling the infringement. Those are the biggest, most local critics of people coming over the border and everything else.
All right. Well, let me ask you this. What is the, because every movement has a goal. Every movement has a logic, a philosophy, a way of operating. What is the end game for political correctness? If political correctness completely plays out, what does the world look like?
I think the world looks a little more savage.
Savage?
That's correct. You cannot offend the sensibilities of group after group after group of people.
Well, you're missing my question.
Political correctness says you do not do that.
Well, yeah, but I mean, so in history, we always have groups of people that are approved and then groups of people that are disapproved. That's just the nature of history and looking at any society back to the ancients. But so aren't you just kind of switching the group of people that gets the benefits and gets to attack the others?
No, I don't see it that way. Basically, what Trump is advocating, in my opinion, if you would draw parallels, you can draw parallels to what he's saying very much to the 1930s and 1940s, the 1950s, before Civil Rights Acts and all those types of things. Because what he's saying now, he's just echoing the sentiments of no coloreds allowed to sit at the counter. No Mexicans allowed to do thus and such based on ethnicity.
He's going after people on the border. He's going after people who he sees as dangerous to the average citizen, which would be radical Islam. He's going after problem areas, right?
Arguably, yes.
But here's my main argument. I'm not a Trump booster. He's entertaining. Anybody who listens to him, whether they're delighted or appalled, he's an entertaining guy. He comes up with stuff off the tanning that's a provocative, that's shocking. Beyond this, and I'm not here to promote Trump.
Mm-hmm.
Beyond this, though, I think there's something to be gained by going after this political correctness industry. I really think it is extremely dangerous to free speech.
I don't agree. Well, you have to have a filter.
Yeah, but the filter is something. Do you want me to put my filter on you, force my filter on you, and say the things that offend me have to offend you too, or you can't talk?
Not necessarily.
But isn't that what's happening?
Let me enlighten you to something.
Well, listen, can you give us a first name? Because I think this is a good conversation. I've got to take a break given my advertising. Can I put you on hold?
Sure.
And you got a second?
Yes.
And a first name for you, even if it's...
Tony.
I was going to say, even if it's made up.
All right.
Tony X. Tony, we'll be right back.
They might think I'm Malcolm's cousin if you said that.
All right, folks. Got a live one on the wire here. I'm interested. I'm interested because... I think everybody's interested in this. What's going to happen with Donald Trump and what does it all stand for? What does it all mean? All right, so let's take a little break here. And we'll just take a break and be right back and talk to Tony. Good caller. Listening to AM Las Cruces on 14 AM 1450. Kelly O'Connell. 1450 KOBE 523 1450. We'll be right back.
Oh man, winter's coming on. It's not so long and the days are crazy. Fading sound of a robin song.
Pierre, what's up, man?
How you doing there? I'm doing all right. How are you?
Pretty good, but the off-air comments are recorded on Blog Talk, just to let you know. But so you having a good day?
That's fine.
Well,
I mean, my whole thing with political incorrectness is it's hearkening back to the days of outright open discrimination.
Yeah, but I mean, it's to a degree, it's from the perspective of the listener, right, or the observer.
Well, I mean, here's the deal. That's correct what you say, but the problem with that is if you're on the receiving end, that's when it becomes problematic.
Yeah, no, and I agree. If I, for example, if I was African American, would I be upset at slavery even though it ended 150 years ago or whatever? Sure.
Yes,
I would be, but I mean, I'm really thinking about what's going on today and tomorrow.
Well, and I understand that. But with reference to what's going on today and tomorrow, all you're doing right now with political incorrectness is you're opening Pandora's box. Okay? Anytime a man can stand up and say categorically that a group of people coming over a border are rapists and thieves, and America largely stands up and applauds that, that is seriously problematic.
Well, there's a lot of people who criticized it. Here's the thing, and this is what – I don't know if you got a chance to listen yesterday. Scott Adams, who does Dilbert, had this kind of theory that he was a master wizard, that he was very expert in what he was doing. But this is what I see him doing in general, and we can bring this on the air. I see him bringing up topics, says something that sounds excessive and maybe is excessive. Stopping all Muslims from coming in. Why? Because I think he wants to make it safe to discuss it. Now, does that mean that I think he's got the purest of motives? I really don't know what his motives are. I'm just kind of going off by what I see.
I think the man's a racist. I think he's a bigot. I think he's a sexist.
Tony, we're on the air.
Yes.
We're on the air.
Okay,
hold on a second. Hold those horses down there. Folks, we're back on the air. Tony and I were talking off the air. All right, so I'm saying to Tony, basically, what I see Trump doing, he brings up topics in a way that you can't avoid it, that causes outrage and a firestorm. And when the outrage dies down a little bit, then it becomes safe to talk about these topics. And then I can say, honestly, I don't know what motivates this guy, but if he wanted to bring up important topics for Americans to discuss, this is how you would do it. With political correctness out there, you can't talk about a lot of this stuff.
I think Donald Trump is a racist. I think he's a sexist. I think he's a bigot. I think he is Archie Bunker personified.
Okay.
And I'm not so sure that is not the conscience
of America.
The conscience of America. That's correct.
All right. So we're a bunch of racist crackers. I don't know what I, like I say, I'll go back to my original point. I don't know what motivates him. I'm just kind of going off of this impression that I have that there's art and there's experience behind what he's doing, that he is a bomb thrower and that he's used to being in the middle of controversy. It doesn't bother him. He's drawn, actually almost drawn to controversy, but that he's using that skill set to bring up topics that are so far out of bounds that nobody discusses them because they're important topics that need to be discussed.
And so what's the end game?
The end game is to deal with the border, number one.
Can
into
you
office.
Honestly see this guy as a president?
To get
honestly?
You know what? This is what I think. He's a businessman. And I don't know if you've had any business experience, but you've got to be careful not to offend the people that you're trying to cut a deal with. I think that he's Barnum. He's P.T. Barnum right now. But when he gets into office, things change. He shifts gears. He gets into a different outfit. What do you think?
I don't agree. I think the undercurrent will remain the same. I questioned his when he first came about. I questioned his seriousness of actually becoming the president. But I think he struck a chord. He struck a chord with America, with a certain segment of America. And he has offended other segments of America. For example, he will never, ever, ever get the conservative Christian vote by virtue of what he does that made him a millionaire. That runs contrary to Christian values.
Well, what exactly did he do? I mean, did he sell infants into prostitution or something? What did he do that was so anti-Christian?
Gambling.
Where? Well, did you know that the Bible doesn't?
That's what he does,
Tony, you know the Bible doesn't directly address gambling, right?
The Bible may not directly address gambling, but I would like for you to show me what congregations find it okay to pack their people up and go up to the casinos on the weekends.
The Catholics do bingo.
Well, that's true, but bingo is a far cry from the Taj Mahal and what's going on in Las Vegas and all that comes with it.
I've never heard anybody bring this up as a serious reason not to support him. So you may not be reading the pulse of the evangelicals.
The evangelicals are not going to support Donald Trump. It's not going to happen.
Oh, okay. So, but what if you found out that there was a certain percentage, let's just say a randomly chosen number here, 54% of evangelicals supported the guy. What would your answer to that be? And I'm not trying to create a fake talking point here, but I'm looking for the numbers as you speak.
That is way too high.
All right.
Way too high. Right. Evangelicals supporting Trump. The serious prairie dress, hair in a bun, Bible under the arm evangelicals, they won't touch Trump.
All right, so I'm putting this into the electronic slave here.
I mean, you're talking numbers probably in the teens at best.
Then he's got the support of teens as well. But
No. The numbers of evangelicals supporting
joke.
Him
that was a
perhaps
joke.
Maybe in
that
the
was
teens
a joke.
At best.
That was a joke. Anyway, Tony, work with me a little bit here. All right, let me ask you this. Let's shift gears a little bit. You think that, Trump's, according to you, is a racist. He's a bigot. He is just a complete, he's the worst kind of cracker. Let me ask you this. What do you, when the Washington Post comes out with an article on Barack Obama and talks about the, I can't remember the title of it, but the quiet intensity, and let me see here, the quiet impact of Obama's Christian faith. Tony, is President Obama a Christian as far as you know?
Yes.
He is.
Yes.
Why do you say that?
Because he says he is.
So there's
because
no deeper analysis than a person says there's something and that's what they are? American reporting, by the way.
He said in a church in Chicago, a church that I'm familiar with, he said in a church in Chicago for 20 years, Christian church.
But you understand that particular church uses the books of James Cone. The books of James Cone are deeply, if you know anything about this church, are deeply influenced by the writings of Karl Marx.
Mm-hmm. Arguably, you can argue those things, but at the end of the day, the folks, the majority of the people who sit in that church on a continuous basis, including Oprah Winfrey and others, are far from the tenets of Marxism.
But that church taught, and I believe that not only did James Cone teach that, but I believe it came out of the pulpit, that if you don't put race in the first place, you know, that you're not a Christian. That, in other words, that the Bible puts first race equality.
And what's wrong with that?
Well, I believe that the chief message of the Bible is everybody's a sinner and needs to be saved. I don't think it's...
Okay.
So here, anyway, I've got this article here from the Atlantic Monthly. Why do evangelicals support Donald Trump? The brash Manhattan billionaires would seem to stand for values they despise, yet conservative Christian voters are flocking to his campaign. This is September 3rd, 2015, a couple months ago. Donald Trump is a modest, arrogant, foul-mouthed, money-obsessed, thrice married, and until recently pro-choice. By conventional standards, evangelical Christians should despise him, yet somehow the Manhattan billionaire has attracted their support. A lot of these people are supporting him. There goes one of your theories. All right. So, Tony, I got to take another break here. Would you like a parting shot?
Sure. Basically, most evangelicals are single-issue voters.
All right.
Most people are single-issue voters.
All right.
But at some point, you have to look at the boilerplate. You have to look at the fine print.
All right.
Beneath the main topic. And I believe the more people believe to do that begin to do that, I think it's going to see to that in the general election of a Hillary versus Donald Trump, he will get handed. And the Republicans will once again give the Democrats the election.
That may be possible. Tony, great call, my friend. Great call.
Thank you, my friend.
Merry Christmas to you.
Happy holidays, Steve.
Thanks.
Thank
okay, you. Bye-bye. All right, folks, we'll be right back. I got a lot of people calling in. Hang in there. Let me get off the air and take a call and put you on hold. 637, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. Is Donald Trump an ignorant cracker who represents the secret, biased, racist heart of America? Call in, 523-1450, and we'll be right back.
You seem a lot of time away. Spend the time we love to each other. Raise our spirits, taste the blue love. The time of year.
641, and if you've been listening in, you heard Tony's call, that and his position is that Trump is a racist, he's a bigot, he's sexist, and that he's a total disaster. And Tony also believes that political correctness is a good thing, and that to attack political correctness is a bad thing, and Barack Obama accidentally brought in anti-political correctness just by existing, just by being there, and that Trump is kind of the leader of this. And sorry if I missed your call. We got a lot of calls during Tony's call, but I'm looking at something from this article in the Washington Post talking about how Obama's sincere Christian faith did not really play out in bringing both sides to the table. So once again, I have no idea what the president believes. Based on observation and what he said, I would never explain him to somebody else as a Christian. Here's this guy. He does this thing. He talks about these things. He does, you know, he makes these decisions. And these decisions seem to reflect some sort of a Christian belief in the cosmos. I would never say that because I haven't observed that. I mean, I think that if you're a president and you're a Christian and you see people in the Middle East getting beheaded because of their Christian beliefs, you try to bring those people over, especially bearing in mind that we have a profound Christian basis for the foundation of our country. And I'm not talking about whether the founders were Christians or not. We have a phone call here. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Jerry. Good morning, Kelly.
Morning, Jerry. What's up?
I think your friend there has been drinking too much Kool-Aid. I'm sorry, but when Barack Obama allows babies to be die in a closet in Illinois because he refuses to sign a Born Alive Act or even bring it up in committee, that is not Christian. I'm sorry.
I would agree with that. I mean, I don't think it's a Christian action to kill a baby.
Okay. So, and also when he exports Yazidi Christians that were from Iraq because they were here and they were trying to claim asylum because they were being persecuted, but they were not being persecuted by a state. They were being persecuted by another
ISIS.
So-called religious entity.
Yeah.
I think that's not Christian also.
I mean, there's been tens of thousands of things that have happened during the Obama administration. Very few of them I don't think any Christian would say, oh, yeah, well, that's the kind of thing a Christian would do. I never, ever have that reaction to this guy. I see him as someone who thinks he's smarter than everybody, that mm-hmm. keeps his cards to his chest and keeps his beliefs hidden. But you can tell what he believes based on what his actions are. But when his beliefs come out, for example, when he said it is not realistic, you know, it's not, don't overreact to the shootings in San Bernardino. The problem is in guns. It's not in terrorists. And don't be afraid of widows and five-year-olds. That kind of leadership, that kind of insulting leadership, I don't think has a place in America.
That's political correctness gone corrupt, gone wrong. And I'm so offended by being called a cracker and thinking that I'm not able to think about multiple tasks like gun control or abortion and make them part of my voting decisions.
Cracker land.
I'm a little bit smarter than that. I'm sorry.
It's all right.
And I think majority of the Americans are smarter than that, too.
Well, we just disagree. What's the song? Dave Mason, we just disagree. Thanks for the call, Jerry. Have a good Christmas. All right, folks, I got to take a break here, but I've got kind of an interesting little picture here that says Democrat/Republican friendliness towards religion. Now, I'm a little bit surprised by this Republican Party. Only 47% of Republicans are friendly towards religion. 30% are neutral and 15% are unfriendly. I thought it would have been a lot more friendlies there. 29% are friendly to religion. 39%, almost 40% are neutral towards religion. And then 25% unfriendly. And then I missed the very bottom. No opinion, 7% for the Republicans and 6% for the Democrats. So that is, and I guess we are, we're kind of headed into the direction of becoming what you see in Europe, which is kind of a post-Christian country. And there's just been an enormous amount of effort and strategizing that's been put out in the popular culture to get people separated from faith and from Christianity. So it's paying off. 647 AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE, 523-1450, and we'll be back. I wanted to just mention, I got a lot on the plate here, but I wanted to, well, all right, so let me switch gears a little bit. I want to talk just a little bit about some of the latest things in immigration, the illegal entries on the border. We'll be back and talk about that.
I see it coming, I can only wait. Thank you.
right. So, I was kind of thinking about this off the air. Here's this thing. I'm not going to go into the. I was going to say something about immigration. The recent statistics on how many people are coming over the border, but let's get into that next hour. I'm in the middle of this article in the Washington Post, The Quiet Christianity of Barack Obama, something like that. Anyway, listen to this one paragraph. With just 1 year left in his second term, Obama now holds a different distinction. No modern president has had his faith more routinely questioned and disparaged. Recent polls show that 29% of Americans and nearly 45% of Republicans say he is Muslim. That is absolutely stunning. That would be the kiss of death for any other politician, but not for him. And so this is what I was thinking. I'm going to do a show the day before Christmas, and the Christmas show is going to be pre-recorded. And I was thinking, you know, what's my reaction to this? Why do people generally think that he's Muslim to a large, shockingly, I mean, what percentage of people thought Reagan was a Muslim or Bill Clinton or George W. Bush or Donald Trump, or, you know, pick anybody out of the hat? No, it would have gotten 0%. Why do people think that he's Muslim, even though he's gotten up and said that he's a Christian? Obviously by his decision making, by how he talks, by how he refers to Islam versus Christianity. This is what I was thinking. I've got some books, and this is my reaction to this. Why don't we we're celebrating the birth of Christ, and this country is Christian, right? Or at least has like some sort of Christian foundation. I was thinking, be interesting. I've got some books on Christian leadership, Christian politics and Christianity. And I was thinking maybe what I'll do for tomorrow is I'll go into some of these books and just get just kind of a general overview of some of the ideas that have come out of Christianity that we use and other things. And we can talk about that. We can talk about whether Obama's Christianity is played out in his faith. We have a caller. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. This is Bob.
Yeah, Bob, what's up? Good morning.
Good morning. And just want to tell Tony that he challenged you on who started all of this Barack Obama birther stuff.
Yeah.
And he said that told you to check the facts because he said that was Trump. Well, he needs to check his facts. That was a Hillary campaign. Trump picked up on it.
That's right, man. Now I remember that. That didn't even occur to me. Great point. Anything else?
Yeah. I think he's probably affiliated with the university. He sounds, I mean, I'll be honest, he sounds like a pompous, arrogant guy, probably a halfway decent individual, but he has total disdain for people who do not agree with him. God, I'd hate to be in his class.
Oh, well, he's a nice guy. Thanks for the call, Bob.
All right.
Merry Christmas. Bye. Tony's a nice guy. Might be a little misguided, but all right. So I was thinking, because I had this interest in. All right, so a lot of people claim to be Christians. But tons of people say that it's a Christian country because the founders were Christian. Whether that's true or not, I think two different claims there. But I was thinking, what would actual Christian leadership or Christian policy look like? So why don't I do a little bit of research tomorrow? And that's one of the things we can tackle for tomorrow. I'll do that tonight. But it was kind of fascinating. It's like, I know what Muslim leadership looks like. Oh, and I wanted to mention, I had this kind of strange thing. This person came in, and I won't go into the details. It was a kind of a legal thing, but the person was interacting with another person who was a Muslim. And so I went online and I found these articles that I had put out there on Muslim law. And started to print this thing up for him to show him what they believed. And this article is being used by a university in one of their courses. So, I mean, of course, I felt a little bit of pride there. Why don't I, and we, you know, we can maybe put it against a Muslim policy and stuff like that. I think it would be interesting. And if that doesn't gain any traction, if you guys are not interested, call up and switch the the topic, but since it's the season, and here's a question. It's like, what is the, we claim to be a Christian, but what has been the impact of Christianity on putting aside what you believe and your emotional attachment to your faith or non-faith? You might be an atheist and hate the Bible and hate to agnostic and not get, you might get sick of hearing about Christmas and God and everything, but what has been the impact of Christianity in the political process? That's an interesting topic to me. And what ideas, broadly speaking, what ideas that we accept as being universally true and not religious actually came out of the religious matrix of Europe. Anyway, it's six as Europe turns into this kind of this Christian colossus over the last 2,000 years. 659 Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450, 523 1450. We will be back to pick it up.
Silver's laughter and the snow on the ground starts to lift in my heart. I feel love and a joy. That's how I know that it's Christmas, darling. So glad that we still got each other. This love is a gift we'll share. Forever peace for my sisters and brothers. Let's ring the bell and bring on the holiday. Can't stop thinking about it.
It's 7:06. And all right, so we got a call from Tony. I thought it was a pretty good call. It put the cat amongst the pigeons, as they say, stirred the pot. And what it said was, what he had to say was that Trump appeals to the racist, bigot, sexist America, the true heart of America. It's cracker land. It's the frustrated whites, the white males that are getting shoved out of power for good reason, that are lashing back. And according to Tony's theory, political correctness is good. Anti-political correctness is bad. Anti-political correctness was born, was birthed, if you will, if you don't mind the pun, during the birther scandal. Where was Obama really born? And therefore, Trump is retrograde. He's from the past. He's represents a dying. And kind of summing up what I think Tony was saying, but he represents a dying force, and a new world is being born through political correctness. Trump, maybe, and some of you undoubtedly think of him as a rump, Trump is a. Tony didn't say this, but he certainly implied it by saying he represents the past, the 1920s, 1930s. He's the modern face of the KKK, according to Tony. Now, for those of you who don't buy into that, which, with all due respect to Tony, I don't. I see Trump as an iconoclast. Now, what is an iconoclast? It's kind of a fancy $3 word. An icon is an image. Clast, to break, an image breaker. So in the battle between the Catholics and the Protestants, the Protestants went after the images that the Catholics had, and they would smash them. And so iconoclast. So an iconoclast is someone who takes something that is seen as holy by one group and smashes it, destroys it right in front of them to prove that it's not holy or to attack it. And that's what I see him as. I see him as an iconoclast going after politically correct, holy ideas that are wholly evil, wholly negative. I agree with Tony that you shouldn't go out of your way to offend people. Because what's the purpose of that? But Trump is doing that very thing to bring the topic out and to make it okay to desanitize it, basically, or maybe sanitize it, to bring out the topics to debate, to argue. We've got to talk about immigration. We've got tens of thousands of kids that are crossing the border, unaccompanied kids that are crossing the border. If you were a person who trafficked in sex slaves in America, and they are out there, trust me, there's many of them, wouldn't you hang around on the Texas or Arizona or New Mexico border and wait for these kids to wander across and just snatch them up? They don't have any way to defend themselves. They don't have anybody in this country who's standing up for them when they cross the border, except Uncle Sam and Uncle Barack. So you could get those kids into sex slavery. Many of them, they say the vast majority of women who come here have been raped. So anyway, Muslims, radicals coming over here to harm us, or that are here to harm us, we have to be able to talk about that. All of these areas have been kind of walled off. They've been, they're like the boy in the plastic bubble. They cannot be touched. Trump is making us able to talk about these things, and for that we should be grateful. The idea that political correctness is leading us into a beautiful new future, as Tony says, is clearly false. What it's really doing is assassinating free speech. You cannot say something, or, you know, God forbid, say something or even think about something that has not been approved by this new class of priests, the politically correct politicians or media, you know, Hollywood, university, whatever, professors. That's a scary group of people to be led by, isn't it? Anyway, the main thing is what this show stands for is liberty. I love it when I get a call like Tony's that disagrees, because then we can have a real debate. But freedom of speech for every man, woman, and child in America. Now, here's a little bit from Hugh Hewitt on the back and forth between Trump and Hillary, when Hillary says that they're using these making videos out of Trump to recruit ISIS. That's how horrible Trump is, according to Hillary. Check this out. You'll like it. And this is with Chris. I think Chris Cuomo.
New day. Boy, the election has seen a shift. Right now, Democrats and Republicans are going after Donald Trump. Donald having no trouble hitting back. Let's bring in Hugh Hewitt, the host of the Hugh Hewitt Show, talk radio show host, also frequent guest as a moderator for CNN debates. Hugh, 1 point already for that tie. Strong out of the gate. Merry Christmas in advance to you as well. Let's play the Hillary sound that has all tongues wagging this morning.
We also need to make sure that the really discriminatory messages that Trump is sending around the world don't fall on receptive ears. He is becoming ISIS's best recruiter. They are going to people, showing videos of Donald Trump insulting Islam and Muslims in order to recruit more radical jihadists.
Now, two takes are possible on this. One is what David Brock just offered on the show, that intel experts have informed the campaign, including Clinton, that they are using what Donald Trump has said and done to recruit online right now. The other one is, we can't find a video, so this is untrue. Your take.
Chris, there's only one take. Hillary Clinton lied. She lied again. She invented a second video narrative, which has nothing to do with the truth. She's been fact-checked on this claim by the Washington Post and by the New York Times. John Podesta was on Meet the Press yesterday. I was on the set with him. He tried to dance around it. David Brock tried to dance around it. Hillary Clinton compulsively lied in a situation where it was not necessary. And it raises that fundamental question. 60% of Americans don't trust her to begin with. She's the least trusted person in the field. And I remember the late Christopher Hitchens wrote a book, No One Left a Lie to It, which he marveled at the fact that both Hillary and Bill Clinton seemed not to be able to control themselves. This was a completely unforced, unnecessary launch into falsehood. There is no video. No video exists. Donald Trump called this morning. NBC called Meet the Press yesterday. He wants an apology. But I think more importantly, voters have to figure out that if Mrs. Clinton becomes President Clinton, they'll never be able to believe anything she says because she just makes stuff up like this video, which does not exist.
What happens if she runs against Donald Trump, captain thousands and thousands of people celebrating after 9/11? Is he someone to cry foul about somebody stretching the truth?
I want to just take a moment to point out that this is what they call a meme. A meme is a an idea that is circulating out there. Could be an image, speaking of which, but it is an idea that has been picked up. And this is how you see these media elites that are on the far left. They traffic in the same ideas, and it makes it seem like they're the same sound bites. It makes it seem like what they're stating is true because it's so obvious to the most brilliant people. And so then they state it for the rest of us dumb redneck yokel crackers. But the fact is that this is something that's been circulated to attack Trump with. Trump made up his lies. Hillary has her lies. It's all the same, isn't it? That's what Cuomo's saying here.
Yes, he is. Absolutely. When you make up a video out of whole cloth, and remember, this is Hillary Clinton who invented a video narrative about the tragedy of Benghazi. In about 3 weeks, we're going to see a movie, 13 hours, come out about that tragedy. And people are going to be reminded again about her paralysis and her obfuscation about that night. It's going to be a very bad 6 weeks for a bad candidate. But even worse, Chris, in that debate, she also said, we now finally have ISIS where we want them. And she put her arms around her Libyan policy. Well, Libya has become a volcano of refugees and terrorists. It's the backup headquarters for ISIS to Raqqa. Her disastrous policy with Russia, her flip-flops on Egypt, her disaster in Libya. I expected a boring setup debate on Saturday night. It was one of the handful of people in the country who watched it. You probably had to watch it too. And it was agony to watch. It was so boring. But nevertheless, to make error after error, unforced error, I think tells us, and people will be talking at Christmas dinner, that Mrs. Clinton is simply past the sell-by date. Time, we can't take 8 more years of lies. We can't take 4 more years of lies.
What happens if an intel guy comes out and says, we do know that they're sending lots of Trump propaganda. We intercept tweets all the time. We know that they're messages. We know some of them are video clips. They're out there.
Utterly oblivious. It doesn't matter. She lied about a video. She was very specific. It would have been easier for her to say, I worry that Donald Trump will become a tool in the propaganda machine because I worry that Hillary Clinton is becoming a tool in the propaganda machine. Those are legitimate worries. I would send the entire audience to a book by Joby Warrick, Pulitzer Prize winner, Washington Post reporter. It's called Black Flags. I read it on the plane back to California from Washington yesterday. And ISIS is very, very sophisticated. They are cruel. They are absolutely fanatical. And they are very sophisticated. So I don't put them past using anything that is said in American media, this exchange, anything that is said in their propaganda. But we ought not to make up their propaganda for them. And certainly the leading Democrat, the presumptive Democratic nominee, ought not to be lying about what they're doing. That shows that she does not have the capacity to stay briefed, to stay focused, to be prepared. Chris, I say it again. I hate to say this because it's blunt. She is a liar.
All right. So that is what you can expect for the campaign. Because that is, and what I brought out for you, I'm trying to remember what day it was. A couple of days ago, I brought out this thing from Scott Adams on Dilbert, which I was really transfixed by this because I see this guy who does the Dilbert cartoon as a real smart guy, very creative. Dilbert is very funny, and it didn't occur to me that he was political. You know, and a lot of these people will totally avoid being political because they don't want their, to turn off half of the potential supporters of their art or whatever. But and he didn't say that he supported Trump. But what he said is that he saw at work a master wizard, a guy who trafficked in or was able to pull off master kill shots linguistic kill shots. So here, he summed up Jeb Bush as being low energy. He basically turned him into a turtle and stuck him in a zoo. And now Jeb Bush is kind of scraping around his little glass house, trying to figure his way out. Now he's attacking Trump and giving himself therapy, blah, blah, blah. But here is once again, and this is from Matt Lauer's show. Well, let's take a break first. And then I'll come back and I'll play this thing just to remind you what this is about. And this is about taking something that's true about Hillary, which is the fact that plays a little bit easy with the truth and comes up with a lot of fabrications. He's going to brand her with that, just like a cow gets branded. And you'll never be able to forget it after he says it. It's already happening. In my opinion, he's going to destroy her in the election. I think he's going to win. Whatever you think that kind of a world that's going to bring into birth, I don't know. But anyway, Kelly O'Connell, 720 AM Las Cruces, 1450 KOBE, 523 1450. Straighten me out if I'm mistaken, and we'll be back for this clip from Trump about Hillary being a liar. Kelly, who's this?
That's Jerry. Hey, Kelly.
Hey, what's up?
As far as Hillary Clinton blaming Trump for creating, basically helping ISIS recruit, 100% of ISIS existence occurred under Barack Obama.
Uh-huh.
He's the best recruiter that they have.
Okay.
And the reason why ISIS is good at recruiting is because, like any other ethnic group or group of people, the Muslims want their own state, just like the Jews want their own state, and we, United States, want the United States to be good. There's a connection there.
Jerry, I got to go to my car to grab some. Call back if you want. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
All right, 7:25, and I went outside to grab something, and it looks like rain, or I guess possibly snow, but not didn't feel cold enough to snow, but got some heavy dark clouds above us. So I'm just updating my little phone weather app here, see what it says. But all right, so it says it's 45 degrees right now. High today of 58, low of 41, so I doubt that is low enough to snow. Thursday, rain. Friday, just cloudy. Saturday, rain. Sunday, snow, it says. And then Monday, a little bit of sun. And Tuesday, sun. All right. So here, remember what I was saying, that the media's go-to piece. This is why I don't consider these people to be intellectually active. They have to be fed. They have to be fed sound bites or talking points, and it used to be done through the guy that runs Fox, not Fox but Vox. I'm trying to remember his name, but he used to do this. He used to send out this, and he was in D.C. He would send out this email every day, basically talking points, and then it would be picked up by all the people in the media, all the talking heads and everything, and it would then be put out there, And since everybody was saying the same thing, it created an illusion of that there was a reality that these super smart people, these elites, were tapping into that nobody else could really fathom, because, you know, the average person wouldn't think of these talking points. We do have a phone call here. Thanks for the call to the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. Hey,
who's
just
this?
To clarify, the actual,
who is this?
100%
who is this?
ISIS existence.
I'll put you on hold for a second there until you can figure out who this is. I've got a clip. If you call up, identify yourself. If you call up, listen. Don't call up and start talking and don't listen. All right, so here is this this clip from all right, so here is this this clip from it's from I'm trying to remember what's today's show. What is that? NBC with Matt Lauer. Matt Lauer says the same exact thing as Chris Cuomo. That's how you know it's a soundbite or a talking point. Check this out.
Good morning.
Let's talk about this this criticism.
And just notice, I pointed this out already, but that Matt Lauer doesn't even really listen to Donald's point. Donald Trump is trying to put out the claim that Hillary Clinton always lies, is a total liar, and she's lied in this particular instance about ISIS using clips from Trump, and then that there's these videos out there. Matt Lauer, who's obviously extremely far to the left deep down, will not even countenance this. The topic of lying comes up, so he immediately accuses, without Trump even really getting his story out, he immediately accuses him of being as much of a liar. It's very clever, but once it's pointed out, it's very transparent what is going on. They're trying to discredit and kill this thing, because I think the left knows this is the area that Hillary is the most vulnerable on.
Fired right back at Hillary Clinton after the debate on Saturday night. She said that your words on this ban of Muslims entering the country have become ISIS's best recruiting tool, that they're actually showing people videos of your comments. You said there's no proof, there's no tape. Thus, she is a liar and lies a lot. But don't you open yourself up to the very same criticism when it comes to your claims that thousands of Muslims celebrated on 9/11. There is no tape. There is no proof, so are you guilty by your same standard?
Well, first of all, there is proof, because many people saw that happen, Matt, as you know. It was written about in the Washington Post and numerous other places. I've been totally exonerated from that. I've had headlines exonerating me and saying Trump was right. I can send you a Breitbart story. I could send you other stories. But as far as Hillary is concerned, she's always been, whether it's Whitewater or the email scandal, she always lies. And now to be saying that we're just right in the perfect spot with respect to ISIS, I don't think that's a lie. I really don't think she knows what she's doing.
Well,
she's been a mess no matter where she's been. She's created a mess. You look at her record as Secretary of State.
We can go back and forth on the
complete. Excuse me, Matt?
No, I'm forth on whether there is video to prove that Muslims celebrated on 9/11. But let me ask
you
this.
Well, you can go back and forth. There's many, many, many witnesses. There have been many stories that have come out that they celebrated. And by the way, Matt,
around the world, there were comments.
They celebrated all over the world when the World Trade Center was falling down, which is disgusting.
The question
is, also happened to celebrate in parts of New York and certainly in parts of New Jersey.
Let me move on. When you and I were at that town.
We have plenty of information on that.
When you and I were at that town hall meeting in New Hampshire a couple of months ago, I asked you about some of your controversial comments, Donald, and I went back to your own book, The Art of the Deal, where you wrote about some of the things you've said in the past. I play to people's fantasies. I call it truthful hyperbole. It's an innocent form of exaggeration and a very effective form of promotion. So is Hillary Clinton lying, or is she taking a page out of Donald Trump's playbook?
Matt, you're talking about people dying. You're talking about making up tapes and videos which don't exist. Her spokesperson last night made the statement, and I think she said she was sorry. She said the videos do not exist. Her spokesperson said this. So what am I going to tell you? Now, I would say this, Matt. I will demand an apology from Hillary, okay? You can be the messenger. I will demand an apology from Hillary. She should apologize. She lies about emails. She lies about Whitewater. She lies about everything. She will be a disaster as president of the United States.
I will deliver that message, I promise you. Let me ask you one other quick question. Is there...
Whatever quick question it was, it didn't matter. They cut it out, but... But here's the thing. The reason the media is failing, the reason that the media is being touted or described as losing more and more authority and force in America is that the media does stuff like this all the time. And it just, when it's pointed out, it's so transparent. We do have a call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
Hey, Kelly. This is Ted.
Ted, good morning.
You know, I think that one thing people need to consider is that Obama really cares more about his legacy than he does having any coattails for the Democratic Party.
Barack Obama has been like this. These Tasmanian devils are all dying over in New Zealand or wherever they live, Tasmania. He's like this. He's like this cancer virus that has hit the Democrats. They're in worse shape than they've been in 100 years, and they're still touting him like he's Moses.
And now he's got no reelection to worry about. He's got this bucket list he needs to check off, whether it's a good deal for us or not. And he's going to check off these boxes that he promises that he made 8 years ago. Many of them are no longer relevant or no longer in the interest of our country. And he's just going to go to town. And I think he is going to be the Republican Party's best recruiter. They're going to be showing clips of him to recruit people in the Republican Party.
He is a total disaster. I've never seen anybody who's more tone deaf. The level of self-righteousness, you know, if you're with me on my side of the debate of whatever they're debating, you're good. You're a good person. If not, you're an evil. You're ignorant. You're evil. You're insane. This classic far leftism. So it's just it blossoms within this guy constantly.
So it's not so much that Trump is going to be so attractive. It's going to be more one of these deals that the enemy of my enemy is my friend.
What do you think of Tony's point? It's crackerland. Trump is trying to revive this dying white male group in America that is bound for extinction, and that we need to get out of the way for political correctness to make the world a better place.
Well, let's just take a look at what has happened in this country. We've got people that they're essentially living off of a trickle down from printing up $7.5 trillion worth of paper money that has nothing backing it up. You may have heard a story recently about some people that were fired down in Juarez because they wanted a 35 cent a day raise, and basically essentially making 50 cents an hour. Now, our teachers and our educational system has been blamed. But I'm telling you that there's nothing we can teach our kids that are going to make them competitive with these slave wages and the economic manipulation of the currency done by China.
Well, I'm sure that's true, but I mean the idea that political correctness is the way forward. Tony, I'm sorry, I got to challenge you out there. You're wrong. Political correctness is an assassination attempt against free speech. Thanks for the call. All right, folks. We are going to obviously come back and talk a little bit more about this stuff. I got another clip that I just found. I haven't heard it yet, but I just got another clip from on Susanna. What do you think does this affect Susanna at all? So I got to tell you, every time that I've run into Susanna, she's come up and give me a hug. I used to work for her. She's a nice person, but I'm just wondering if you think this party, this recording from the party is going to impact her long-term interests in serving in Washington, which I assume she has, but I've never heard her say that personally. This is AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. Call in, especially if you disagree. We'll be right back.
so far. Behold, I bring you joy.
Hey, it's Kelly. Who's this?
Yes, my name is Joan Lemon. I just wanted to call and thank you for your nice program. It keeps me informed of the world events. And
thanks. So. Did you want to stay on and say anything?
No, just that.
Your first name's Joanne?
Joan Lemon.
Joan Lemon. Thank you so much, Joan. I hope you have a wonderful Christmas.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. So I've got this clip. I started to play it, but then I got a phone call. Here is the clip from it's called the Belt Loop Audio from the El Dorado Hotel. All right, let me say this. Susanna has been nice to me. She's a nice lady. You know, she's charismatic. She's charming. She's smart. And it's not hard to believe that she made it to be the governor. I don't know what her future plans are. I would think if she ran against one of the senators in the state, U.S. senators, she'd have a good shot. She'd have a shot going, trying to get into the House. Although I think it might be a little hard to beat Steve Pierce. I think he's a very cagey and very smart guy. He stands for the right things, kind of a person. But I'm just curious if this is going to make any kind of an impact on anybody. Here's my defense of her. She's at a Christmas party. You know, there's a lot of pressure on her and her staff. They go to a Christmas party. They're at the hotel, and where she is obviously going to have a room. They've already got a room if she wants to stay there. What difference does it make if she had a few drinks? You know, I mean, she's in a controlled environment. All right, check this out.
The agent. I came the third time, actually, about 15 minutes ago. Security agent.
Yeah, hold on. Let me got to turn on the sound here first, of course. Rookie mistake. All right, here we go.
That's what they call me, security agent. So I came up there about 15 minutes ago, and I personally heard how loud it was, and there was another guest sitting outside on the couch right near the
That's room. Not our guest.
Yes, I know. She was trying to... She was saying that she heard you guys the whole night, and it's been loud.
I think that's 2 hours ago. No one was in that room. We finished downstairs at midnight at your ballroom. It's been empty. 5 hours ago, there was somebody that we said, get out of the room, do not be doing what you're doing. And there were bottles being thrown at. Is it get the hell out and stop? But now the computer stopped me, and I am in there. There are no bottles in the floor.
Well, I think this most recent complaint is just about the noise in general. Like, I don't know.
Like the radio?
This is no. With the computer, or are they causing any problems with you guys? Okay, so obviously I'm not going to be able to move her. Yeah, that's fine. What can we do to resolve this?
Honestly, you know, I've only been really working here for like a month and a half, so like this is actually my first kind of run into this sort of thing, and it's never been a governor. I would never expect it the first time. So I really don't know what to do in this situation because, like, I can tell she's
inebriated.
Yes. So the thing is, I saw the pizza delivery man leaving, so I do know I saw that. But the women I talked to said that, like, right when the pizza came, music stopped. But
I'm gonna give you my card. That way, if it there's another complaint. That's my cell number, okay? It's a 470 number. If something comes in, call me. I'll see if I can get a hold of you. Nothing else is going on tonight. But, yeah. Anything else we can do to help you resolve this?
This is the only guy who can't really get him to leave or. Kind of a situation. I didn't even know who was in there. But I don't know. Also, I don't believe it's 6 people in there. There's quite a few people in there.
But like I said, if issues keep coming up, give me a call. I'll see if I can get a hold of her security detail. See if we can resolve anything. Obviously, it's not going to be very
easy process.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, I think it's resolved for at least a little bit.
I hope so. I'm hoping that it's at least. I hope they like realize it loud at least and kind of at least keep it down. I don't know if they really know.
Okay. All right. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
I'm glad I came with you guys.
All right, so that's it. And my reaction is that it sounds like that the governor went up there and found out that people were throwing stuff from the window and stopped him, and then that there was more than 6 people in there, and that some people were inebriated. And I mean, it's a Christmas party. What do you expect? So anyway, I don't think this is going to. I don't think it's. I mean, if somebody has an incident at a time of the year at a function where people are expecting alcohol and partying and stuff like that. And she didn't, I mean, if she was inebriated, didn't seem that bad, but anyway, that's my response. 523-1450 if you disagree, but you know, Susana is still the first Hispanic female governor, and you know, she's got pretty good numbers. Whatever you think of her record, her support is fairly high. And so I think she's still an up and coming talent in terms of Washington. Anyway, just my take on that tape. 747, you're listening to AM Las Cruces on 1450 KOBE. Kelly O'Connell, 523-1450, 523-1450. I think it's all going to blow over for Susana. But we'll be back, and a few other topics I want to kick around with you. And it is today, 23rd. Make plans for Christmas if you haven't already. We'll be right back. All right, so there is a report that's come out that there have been tens of thousands of kids that are unaccompanied kids, and this is from one of the sheriffs out of Arizona, and this is Babu. Now, Sheriff Babu is kind of an interesting guy. He's conservative, but he's also gay. He's the sheriff of Tucson and Pinal County. Arizona Sheriff and Congressional candidate Paul Babu stated, just the last 2 months alone, we've had 10,000 unaccompanied juveniles who are staying here, and that the Obama administration says the border is wide open and that there is no law when it comes to immigration. And, you know, I honestly find this sad that people are touting. Honestly, I just feel I'm so distraught at the, you know, whenever the government has an opportunity to take advantage of a loophole in the law, they go ahead and do it with total impunity. It's, you know, it's just very weird. And so now you've got all of these kids that are brought across the border and dumped off. And it's just, you know, it's just.
Not just
here we go.
Who maybe have terrorist plans. It is a lot of the time, in fact, a good deal of the time, those who are coming here completely unbeknownst to us and with an agenda we really can't figure out. another surge, maybe tens of thousands of kids, largely teenagers, who will be making their way here. Some of them already have this surge that follows on the summer 2014 surge, where we had to quickly build containment facilities and the like. Sheriff Paul Babu dealing at the front end of all of that on what he makes of this latest threat. A good many of them coming, and it seems to be time when we're not paying attention, but we are. What do you make of it?
Well, we're paying attention because we're living in the effect, Neil. And just the last 2 months alone, we've had 10,000 unaccompanied juveniles and also with some family members. And the arms are open. And that's the message that's been sent. The last wave, 100,000 from Central America.
Well, do we know what is the timing of all this? A lot of them come unaccompanied. Sometimes some of them are little kids. So then the reaction
right.
is that Americans' heart properly goes out for them.
Certainly.
And they see some of the older kids and all very few parents or adults in tow. This worked very much like a charm in 2014.
Yes.
Continued a little bit earlier this year because none of them ever get shipped
right.
back, right?
Well, that's the thing. We're a compassionate nation. We always have been. And this is where I'm tired of being shouted down by President Obama, like somehow we're not good Americans if we don't do everything that he says we should do. And we've had 1 million legal immigrants last year alone. And we do this
every
year.
Well, what would you do with this, that, Sheriff? I mean, the ones are coming because this we.
All right. So that's just to let you know, we'll take a small break here and come back and finish up. But tens of thousands of kids coming over here. Let's say that this wasn't a country that you didn't have certain beliefs about your politics or whatever. It was just a business. How would you treat something like this? We'll take a break and be right back. It's Kelly. Who's this?
Hi, Kelly. It's Karen.
Hey, what's going on?
Not much. I just wanted to make a comment about Sheriff Babu.
Okay, let me put you on hold. We'll be back in 2 minutes, okay?
Okay.
Thanks.
Right.
Kelly, and we have a couple of calls. We'll try to squeeze them in. Hello, it's Kelly. Who's this?
This is unbelievable, Kelly-O. You know, I don't mind, you know, folks having Christmas parties. But when you charge the hardworking taxpayers, poor taxpayers, by the way, in New Mexico, $8,000 so you can get 40 sheets to the wind, I find that absolutely criminally outrageous.
Wait a second. No one's going to talk about Mayor Ken Miyagashima like that.
That's it. Don't try to play it off and then say, oh, me stuff and so. No. She was 42 sheets or whatever number of sheets to the wind. She was the commander, the pizza. Oh, my goodness, she sounded like she's some kind of whack job.
Well,
but $8,000, Kelly, you know, you're a conservative. You don't like this kind of stuff, you know? But yet she's going out paying your hard tax dollars. You work very hard for your money, and she's out and getting 40 sheets to the wind with the rest of her cronies. There's something wrong with that.
I'd like to
do stuff like that.
I'd like to taste an $8,000 pizza. It sounds very tempting.
If you got that right, well, you know, anyway, listen, you have a good morning.
Merry Christmas to you, or happy Kwanzaa.
Oh, yeah, right. Festivus.
All right. Thanks. Have a great day.
Bye.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. So Karen was calling up to talk about Paul Babu, but apparently she got taken away. All right. Here is your – let's see if I can squeeze these in. I had my Trump went legs up on me. This machine is just like a constant struggle. Right. A couple of stories, though, that I thought that you might be interested in. Bette Midler blaming warm weather on, quote, ignorant, selfish climate deniers. In the meantime, while the warmest Christmas Eve on record unfolds across the eastern state, the upside-down pattern is linked to El Nino, which existed, I think, before global warming raised its ugly head. Okay, here we go. Have a great day. Thanks for tuning in. I'll be live tomorrow and we're going to talk about something really exciting. Have a great day. Ciao, Kelly.
Sing down across